is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in Los Angeles facing 3 days of clashes with protesters and demonstrations against ICE immigration raids. ABC's Matt Gutman was in downtown for the unrest.
Just moments ago, there's some projectiles being thrown. Just moments ago, a motorcycle seemed to try to break through the police skirmish line. And now you can hear all those flashbangs going off. Police are strawing to push those protesters back.
Mayor Karen Bass and Governor Gavin Newsom both saying they did not request the National Guard. It was the first time since 1965 the National Guard was deployed by a president against the wishes of a governor. Scores of scientists have signed a letter called the Bethesda Declaration, challenging Trump policies they say are meant to undermine National Institutes of Health missions, waste public resources, and harm the health of Americans and people around the globe. Warner Brothers and Discovery announcing this morning they will be splitting off into two public companies by next year. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Legislative Republicans and Governor Tony Evers have ended negotiations on the state budget. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Republicans are now officially crafting their own budget after walking out on negotiations with Governor Tony Evers. They've been in talks trying to come to an agreement on tax cuts, a priority for Republicans, and funding things like schools, child care centers, and universities, a priority for the governor. Republican State Senator Mark Bourne, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee.
Unfortunately, those conversations have stopped. The spending really that the governor needs is just more than the state can afford, and it was getting to the point where it was about 3-1 compared to the tax cuts that we were looking at.
Wisconsin currently has a record $4.5 billion or so surplus, according to the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum. Republicans have the majority, so now this budget is essentially in their hands. Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce.
We're going to see a budget that does very little to lower costs for working families. I think we're going to see a budget that fails our kids. We're going to see a budget that refuses to invest in our public universities at a really critical time. We're going to see a budget that turns a blind eye to relief for ordinary Wisconsinites. We're going to see a budget that exacerbates the child care crisis in the state.
Thursday, Republicans added more bonding authority to clean drinking water initiatives and $500,000 to a program to train more physicians. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Legislators are trying to finalize the budget by the end of the month. This week in La Crosse City government, there are 7 committee meetings ahead of Thursday's Common Council meeting. Today, the Board of Public Works will consider approval of a resolution to allow the La Crosse School District to begin work at the Hogan Administrative Site for a new elementary school. A council planning session is set for tomorrow ahead of a long agenda Thursday for the Common Council, which includes voting on proposals to raise stormwater utility fees twice in the next 7 months. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers' homestand continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a 3-game series against the Atlanta Braves tonight at American Family Field. The crew got shut out by the Padres yesterday, 1-0. Milwaukee leaving 10 base runners stranded and just couldn't find a way to score some runs. Pat Murphy.
We didn't get the big hit when we needed to. We could have scored, a ton of runs. We had a ton of traffic. It seemed like we just didn't come up with a big hit.
The Brewers losing this series to San Diego 2-1. NBA, the Pacers fall to the Thunder in Oklahoma City, 123-107. Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton said it seemed like the refs allowed them to be more physical in Game 2.
The officials said, let us play a little bit more. So just got to do a better job playing through there. I just got to figure out how to be better earlier in games. Kudos to them. They're a great defensive team, but we can do a lot better job and, watch the film and see if we can get better, going into Game 3.
The series tied at 1 game apiece. Game 3 Wednesday night in Indianapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thundershowers possible today and a high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Tonight, an isolated shower, thundershower possible, low in the low 50s. Tomorrow will be sunny and warmer with a high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. State Senator Kelda Royce will be here with our weekly Joint Finance Committee update, as well as headlines from Wisconsin Watch. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
It is I, the aforementioned Pat Kreitlow, on this Monday morning, June 9th. Welcome back up north, 8:06 here on Lake Wissota, and Brittany Merlot is going to have the forecast. We're going to check in with John and Gordy down in Madison in just a bit. First, want to let you know that in the next half hour, we will be talking about apprenticeships in the building trades, and the executive director of the Building Trades Council here in Wisconsin will be our guest to talk about ways to alleviate the labor shortage in Wisconsin. So normally, you've heard us mention a few different times that when we turn to Parker Olson, he's there in Studio A2. And I'm sure you're going, well, is there an A1? Yeah, it's normally in use, yeah. You know, during these early hours of the day. But we found a little space of time where it's not being used in any productive manner. And we've been able to talk our friends in Madison, John and Gordy, who have finished their show, into wasting some of their time on this one. John and Gordy are in A1. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
Great to be here.
Yeah, wonderful to have you here.
We wasted 2 hours, Pat, just waiting to be on your show.
Well, if you could entertain anybody along the way before that happens, it would be appreciated. And I'm sure a few listeners in Madison do just that. And Dom, of course, is their producer, so he's in the control room there. Brittany Merlot is standing by there. We just wanted to show that we could pop five studios up on screen at once. It took nearly a Nobel Prize winning effort of engineering to get it done, but we're here. So now, having proven that point, Parker and Dom are going to shut their cameras off because it's too much for me to take in at once. I am just overstimulated.
Get them out of here.
Toddler at this point. All I can handle right now is that Brittany Merlot is back and has a local forecast all across the state that's going to be a little rainy, a little warm, but can't wait to hear more about it. Hello, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. I'm happy.
You're looking
to see
at this whole screen full of men. Just like, I cannot get an edge in word-wise with these guys, but
right?
Here we go.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
The next few moments are all yours.
Okay, here we go. I got the stage. I wish I had a better forecast for you, but it is pretty nice middle of the week. Today, though, this morning, we're waking up with temperatures at 48 degrees up north in Phillips, and it's about the low 60s down south into Kenosha and West Bend right now. Sunshine in eastern parts of the state. Well, the rest of the state's wondering, what? No way. We're stuck under these clouds still throughout the day. We are looking at rain rolling through central parts of the state right now with a low pressure system overhead, a cold front sweeping south through the state. So yes, clouds are headed your way into the eastern areas too. Highs still on the cooler side, mid-50s far north to mid-60s far south today. So only a few more degrees for our high temperatures. We're still looking at a little bit of wildfire smoke kind of hanging around Madison to Milwaukee this morning. And of course, scattered showers still continuing through this afternoon. A few small storms could spark this evening as well. None of them are expected to be severe, but a few rumbles of thunder and a little bit of rain there. But we do have a high pressure system moving in, and it's going to take control tomorrow and Wednesday. It's going to brighten the skies up. It's going to warm us up to the mid 70s tomorrow, and then we'll flirt with 80 degrees on Wednesday. So a little summer dash there in the middle of the week, and then more rain as we close the week out, unfortunately.
Brittany, we appreciate the appearances here, and we know you're all over the network. Do you have to appear with these fellows over here, John and Gordy, every so often, too?
I do, every single morning. Yes. I love them. They're a hoot.
Oh, well, then we can check it. John, Gordy, how would you grade Ms. Merlot there with her forecast presentation today?
We couldn't do without her, actually. Oh. We wouldn't have weather in Madison without her.
We wouldn't She's have excellent. Weather in Madison.
She's excellent. You know, Pat, I was a TV weatherman for 20 years, but I retired from that business more than 10 years ago. And I got to tell you, Brittany does just a fantastic job. She's right on top of the weather, not only for Madison, but for the whole state here. So we really, it's great to have her with us every morning.
Aww. Thank you, guys. You guys are the best.
Brittany knows I got my start as a TV weather person on the college TV station at UW-Eau Claire. It was my very first appearance. And Brittany, when a listener discovered that there's a clip on YouTube of that with my big 80s hair way out to here, and, you know, I probably weighed 100 pounds at the time, and it just reminds Brittany of just how far she's come and how much better she is than all the rest of us, and how lucky we are to have her. Thank you, Brittany.
You got to love that, though. Those old school news bloopers, or just, you know, when you're first starting out, they're the best.
I don't know what you're talking about. My voice wasn't cracking at all.
Thank you, Brittany. All of ours did, even the females, out of nervousness. Yes. You know what I mean? You got that camera pointed at you.
Yep. Ooh. It happens.
It's scary.
Yep. Yeah, but then you get, you turn into old pros through time and experience and a dose of cynicism. We'll get you through a lot of things here. Thank you, Brittany.
Pat, what did you like working with, the magnets on your weather maps, or did you like the...
They were the Velcro. Yes, they were painted styrofoam, and then we would put the Velcro letters on there, the H or the L in the little fronts.
I'm a little jealous. Great. That's kind of cool.
Those were the days.
OG technology. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great day.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll see you later.
All right. John and Gordy are with us now from WMDX in Madison. And so folks know that we talk to people throughout the Civic Media Radio Network throughout the course of the week. We talk to Melissa Kay on Wednesdays from WFHR. For example, we've got James Kelly on, Earl Ingram is on. And now we've finally been able to make arrangements for some time for John and Gordy to visit with us and talk about things that they are talking about on their Madison show. But before we can get to, the Madison show and show topics and everything, since we haven't had you on this program yet, we'd like to know just a little bit more about you guys. It's John Peterson and Gordy Young, and they've been known as John and Gordy since, was it 1964? When did you guys get started?
Not quite that far back.
Oh, okay. All right.
Close.
Almost.
All right. Well, take us back to when the earth cooled and how this all got started.
I think it's about 1989 that we finally got together.
Right.
And that had to do with me having radio shows here in Madison at different stations, that I get fired from one, move on to another. And Gordy followed that career. And we met finally at a TV station, Fox 47, started up a new station here in town. And he was the promotion director. And we ran into each other at their grand opening,
which was in 1986. That's when we first met. But
that's
we didn't
when we
start
first
working
met, yes.
For a couple of years after that, we started working together. But I hired John to do some voiceover work at the TV station. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got started. And we started doing a movie show on the weekends, late night movie show, where we did little things in between the commercials, little vignettes.
And played really bad movies.
Yeah, really awful movies. And that's where we started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then eventually... We got together on the radio there.
That's right. We went to a station 92, not 92.7, but another 92.1. And it was magic at the time. We just loved working together. It all just fell together for us. And it's been John and Gordy ever since, actually. I got to tell you, Pat.
Yes.
We got that radio station in Waukesha, WAUK, and that's where I started. That was my first on-air radio job, working at WAUK in like 1978, 79.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you know, though, of all the people who tell stories about first jobs and all that, there's nobody out there that has stories quite like early radio stories. Like my first station was WAQE in Rice Lake, and it was in a duplex or something. WBKV in West Bend. You're mm-hmm. in this basement studio where, you know, they didn't have anybody to clean the toilets or the bathrooms or anything. So, you know, everybody had to pitch in. Everybody's got some story about, you know, those first radio jobs and how unique they are. When you get going.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My first station was WNNO in Wisconsin Dells. Mm-hmm. And that was a wonderful place to start out because we had a window on the street. You know, we were right mm-hmm. downtown. And of course, in the summertime, it was just crazy tourists coming by and banging on the window and trying to get your attention. And but like you said, you do everything, you know, you do everything from empty the waste baskets to sweep the floors to, you know, doing some commercials.
We wised up this time because now we have a city view. We overlook State Street, the State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, and we're a second floor building office. So now no one can knock on our windows and try to get our attention.
We literally look down on folks, you know, as they're walking up and down State Street. Yes.
We look down on.
You know, you mentioned the late night movie thing, and that actually ties into how I met my wife.
Really?
I feel like I should turn to the girls, my daughters, and go, "How I Met Your Mother." I was working at the college TV station, the aforementioned one, and was again hosting kind of the late night movie thing. And I signed off after the movie saying, "Well, I'll see you down on Water Street," which of course is, you know, in Eau Claire, where all the college kids go. And met her in a bar, and she said, "Oh, I saw you on TV there." And she was there with a girlfriend of hers, and I was there with a guy friend of mine who were dating at the time. Mm-hmm. And Sherry and I just kind of got to talking, not realizing that our friends were having a disagreement about something and broke up right in front of us. And each left, and neither one of us was a good enough friend to go with our friend. We were like talking to each other. So we just kind of kept talking after that. And we're still talking 41 years later here. So
It all started with
a late night at the movies. Was that the extent of TV work for you then? Or?
Well, no, we had another show. It was on cable. Remember Cable Access?
Oh, okay. Yes.
So
they had Cable Access shows all over Wisconsin.
Yeah, think about Wayne's World. It was kind of like that.
Yeah.
And our show, we invited all the other DJs from other radio stations, competing stations, all the other TV, local TV people to come on this Cable Access show. And it was pretty fun. And we had local bands, and we did that show once a week for a couple of years.
Local, very controversial business entrepreneurs in town.
Yes.
A strip club, just to mention one.
Oh, yeah.
So. Cassandra asks on YouTube, do you know where exactly you were in the Dells? I'm wondering what's replaced your studio. I grew up there.
Okay, Cassandra. Well, I can tell you exactly where it was. It was 721 Superior Street, and now it's a cigar store.
Wow. Okay.
It was always meant to be a cigar store, by the way.
It's funny. I stopped in there a couple of years ago, and the layout is exactly the same, where the rooms were, where the studio was, everything else. It's just filled with cigars and accessories. But that's where it was. Yeah, right next to right next to Fisher's mm-hmm. Bar, if you know where that is in Wisconsin Dells. So, Cassandra, there you have it.
There. Yeah. All right. We're talking to John and Gordy. You can hear them 6 to 8 a.m. in the Madison area on WMDX, or, of course, through the Civic Media app as well, getting to know a bit about them before we talk about some of the things that they do on their show. Family in town, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, you guys might be a very fertile family.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what. I've got two Gen Zers living at my home. One lives upstairs in our apartment that we have in our home, and the other lives downstairs in an apartment that we also rented out at one time. So they're both living at home. I hear from them all the time. They keep me updated on all the latest news. I keep them updated on all their tech with the money I make.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful arrangement. I love having them around. You know,
That's great.
It's great stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And I live in Madison. My daughter lives over in Fort Atkinson, about 45 minutes east of here. And my son lives in South Bend, Indiana. He's got a business there, working at an art supply place or an art house, I guess you would say. And so I don't really have family locally here in Madison, but not too far away.
All right. We are talking to John and Gordy, and still ahead, we're going to be talking to Emily Pritzkow from the Building Trades Council about growing apprenticeships in Wisconsin. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed two election bills May 2nd, one of which includes provisions for poll workers to challenge the citizenship of voters in the polling place, a ban on ranked choice voting, and a higher bar for third parties. Among several new provisions, House File 954 authorizes state election officials to access federal agency databases and gives local election officials authority to challenge citizenship of a registered voter at the polls. A recent presidential executive order now allows access to those databases. If a voter is not able to provide documentation at the polls, they would be forced to use a provisional ballot. Only days before the 2024 election, the Secretary of State's office challenged the eligibility of over 2,100 registered voters. Most were naturalized citizens or data errors, while 277 were registered non-citizens. Of those, only 35 voted out of 1.7 million ballots cast. Pro-voter groups argue such mass challenges intimidate legitimate naturalized citizens from voting. Two provisions in 954 attempt to protect major party power. It bans ranked choice voting for any election in Iowa and raises the bar for third parties to field candidates. Third parties now need to garner 2% of the vote in three consecutive elections to qualify for the ballot. We have more on HF 954 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tomorrow on the program, of course, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be teasing a big column that he's going to be publishing tomorrow. And then we'll also have Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXE up in Wausau talking about stories that he's doing for Civic Media and the people that he's talking to up in the Wausau area. On Wednesday, we'll do that with Earl Ingram from Southeast Wisconsin and also Melissa Kay from the Wisconsin Rapids area. But now to our Madison area, where we have hired two new intrepid correspondents to talk about what's happening around there. That, of course, would be John and Gordy, John Peterson and Gordy Young from WMDX there in Madison. Their show 6 to 8 that you can hear on the radio in Madison or, of course, through the Civic Media app. Mm-hmm. How long of a hiatus or whatever was it before you started doing this show on Civic Media again?
Only 29 years.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So so you looked at the Eagles, they're 14 years.
Yeah, right.
And exactly. Said, no,
we
amateurs.
We can outdo them.
Yeah. Yeah. I had actually moved to South Bend, Indiana in 1994. And so I was there for about 20 years before I moved back a few years ago. And then John and I kind of reconnected a couple of years ago, started here. A year and a half ago.
And then Catherine Lake, who became the program director here at the station, reminded everybody that we still exist by bringing us together and putting us on the air in the mornings.
We had known her back in the 90s, and actually we helped start her career, she claims, right?
Yes, yes.
Right?
She worked for a public station here, Wart.
A community.
She did the morning show from a restaurant, which is like a dream come true for me, because if you can get donuts and coffee just endlessly and do a radio show, that's like heaven.
I did tell the story about how my first job up in Rice Lake out of college ended up being done a talk show at the lunch counter of Heckle's Big Steer. And getting free breakfast out of that deal. Hey, there's the aforementioned Catherine Lake now to defend her honor.
Well, yeah. Gordy actually finally, for the first time, admitted that they really did start my career. I was on the community radio station with about 18 listeners, and they would call me from the commercial radio station, WMAD, and just to talk to me while I'm doing my show. We simulcast.
Yes,
we simulcast. So I got time on a commercial radio station, and then they got fired, and I took their job.
Yep. The end. And now she's running away.
And then she runs away. I like how she knows how to do that. I'm not putting on headphones, Kreitlo. I don't want to hear your retort. I'm just going to say what I got to say, and I'm going to move on from there.
Actually true, though. She did take our jobs after we got fired from that station, starting her career.
Well, didn't exactly get fired. They turned the station off.
Yeah.
It went dark. Well, there. That's one way to go about
that
it.
That helps.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like when the host just turns off the lights, you know, and everything, and it's up to the guest to figure out, I guess the party's done. I guess it's time for us to go now.
We got the message at that point. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're doing a show in Madison, you know, folks all around the state probably think there's a lot of fertile ground there. And I would imagine both ways that you've got you know your quirky people, but I know from I've lived there briefly and served as a legislator, you also have some of the kindest most big-hearted people you know you'll ever meet are in that area as well. Do you think of the show more as like an interview show, a call-in show, or more like storytelling about you know things that you see and do in the Madison area?
Well, I think it's more like storytelling. We do get a couple calls, couple. Mm-hmm. Maybe one. Yeah. Wait, no. Maybe every once in a while we coax somebody to give us a call with money. But we actually like to tell stories and kind of you know give the temperature of what this town is all about and what the state is all about and the temperature of the country. You know, and the ice problem out in California we were talking about this morning. We also talked about Ron Johnson and his ties to China, which is something I found out from a Milwaukee magazine, Urban Milwaukee, from Bruce Murphy. He wrote about Ron Johnson's ties to China and making a lot of money there while he's been senator. So, yeah, we touch on a lot of different things here. What's going on at the Capitol now that the Republicans are back in session?
You know, we do hit the political stories and we do hit overnight news and, you know, breaking news such as, you know, this morning, really, with L.A. and the situation there. Yeah. But we also try to find, and it's tough to do nowadays, the funny in the story. You know, how can we lighten the load a little bit because there's so much heavy news, some tragic news some mornings. So we're always trying to find something to lighten it up.
Here's the secret, Pat. You know, we do talk about some serious subjects here, but in order to make it a light, happy, bubbly morning show in Madison, we throw in a little Trump here and there because he's the clown. He's the guy who adds the jokes. So
isn't it interesting that after he won that we all at Civic Media had to get together and, you know, figure out there is a path there where you're not all doom and gloom and people get mad and depressed and then they want to tune out. Right. And on the other hand, if you can't ignore it entirely because these are important issues that are going on. And other times, I mean, you're right. It's like a clown car and, you know, where they, the paperwork mistakes, the court mistakes, the, you know, the things that in our previous lifetimes, which wasn't that long ago, would get you fired or impeached. Or convicted, and now it's just part of the show. It's just part of the show, you know.
That's exactly how it is now, and you know, we were just reviewing how we got into this mess in the first place, where we fear immigrants in this country.
Yeah.
And if anybody remembers, could you play this?
We've only got about a minute left.
I just want to play a quick Oh, no, we don't have any time for that. But, you know, there was a song about eating dogs and cats. Everybody remembers that one, remember? Right.
Yes.
Right. And that kind of fed into this fear of immigrants eating our pets.
Yeah.
And how crazy that is, right? And it's so crazy that everybody would catch on to the fact that they're being manipulated. And yet, here we are today.
And yet, here we are with no shortage of content. John and Gordy, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week. Thank
you
so much.
To you too. Yep.
Thank All you, right. Pat. Yep. We appreciate it.
Have a great day. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Emily Pritzkow a bit about the building trades and apprenticeships here live from Lake Wissota. What a great place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Trump administration is scrutinizing Wisconsin's top election agency. Federal funding for voter education and poll worker training could be on the line. The U.S. Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division issued a sharp warning to the Wisconsin Elections Commission in a letter yesterday, saying that the agency is out of compliance with federal law. At issue, the DOJ says the commission lacks a proper administrative complaint process, a requirement under the Help America Vote Act, or HAVA. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is a bipartisan body established roughly a decade ago by former Governor Scott Walker. It oversees election guidance for nearly 2,000 local clerks, and the agency does have a complaint system and investigative process in place. Any eligible Wisconsin voter can file a complaint, but the DOJ's letter suggests that may not meet federal standards. Since 2002, Wisconsin has received more than $77 million to help administer elections after HAVA, the post-2000 election law that aimed to make voting more accessible and secure. This latest federal push comes amid continued complaints over a mobile voting van used in Racine during a primary years ago. The city said the van expanded access for voters, but former Racine GOP chair Kenneth Brown disagreed and sued. The case went to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which tossed it out earlier this year. The court's liberal majority ruled that Brown wasn't personally harmed and had no standing. State Republican lawmakers are taking another swing. A new bill, backed by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, would make it easier to sue if complaints to the Election Commission were dismissed. That proposal had a public hearing earlier this week. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Starting July 1st, you can take even more time getting to your seat at the movies. That is, if you're going to AMC theaters. The Hollywood Reporter says commercials will start playing before movies, along with coming attractions. The theater chain set up a deal with National Cinemedia. With commercials, the Dolby Surround sound ads, theater etiquette ads, and previews, you actually have time to watch another movie on your phone before your featured attraction starts. But use headphones, please. Otherwise, it would be rude. Sydney Sweeney has been in the news quite a bit lately. She's now part of a new thriller, and not the kind that involves her selling her bathwater. She and Julianne Moore have teamed up in a new thriller called Echo Valley. Moore plays a divorced single mom raising her daughter, played by Sweeney, who is running with the wrong crowd and has a drug problem, which causes her and her mom to go broke. Might have to use some of that soap money. The film is directed by BAFTA winner Michael Pierce and drops on Apple TV June 13th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thundershowers possible today and a high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Tonight, an isolated shower, thundershower possible, low in the low 50s. Tomorrow will be sunny and warmer with a high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 p.m., I'll be joined with UW Wisconsin Law School professor Aaron Barbato to talk about immigration processes. We dispel myths and give you the real scoop.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll have Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. And if you're not already following him at his site or on Substack or through Civic Media, you really ought to. His political writings are very informative about what people are doing in the Capitol and elsewhere. And he'll have a column tomorrow that focuses on next year's governor's race that you're going to want to know about. We'll talk to Dan during the 8 a.m. hour tomorrow, and then he'll be filling in for Maggie Dawn tomorrow afternoon along with Angela Lang. And by that time, he will have published his column and talk all about the contents of this week's writings, which are very noteworthy indeed. Time to talk now about the building trades and the labor shortage in Wisconsin. Emily Pritzkow is here, Executive Director of Wisconsin Building Trades. And we're going to be focusing on a new report, a new study about the value of the building trades, especially union training in addressing the Wisconsin labor shortage. Emily Pritzkow, good morning. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Now, it's nice to have you here. And what prompted this was a new report by the Midwest Economic Policy Institute and the Project for Middle Class Renewal, looking at the skilled trades and union-affiliated apprenticeship programs. And we want to make sure we make that distinction here because of the role that it plays in the quality of training that you get. But let's just talk about it from a general standpoint first, that the building trades, to what degree are they doing, pun intended, the heavy lifting to solve the skilled labor crisis in our state?
We are punching well above our weight when it comes to solving that skilled labor crisis. That study you referenced, which I think came out in the last month or so, highlighted what in the trades I think has been a pretty well-known fact, which is that three out of every four apprentice in Wisconsin that's doing construction apprenticeship is a union apprentice. 96% of funding that goes into construction apprenticeship comes from the union trades. So when it comes to driving the next generation of skilled workers, we're doing it all. We're carrying that weight, as you said, and we're doing it really well and delivering amazing outcomes for contractors, for end users on these projects, for communities.
And it's happening because you're seeing, you know, historic investments in infrastructure through the bipartisan infrastructure law, in renewable energy through the Inflation Reduction Act, and just through the recovery that came from the pandemic, the increase in domestic manufacturing. Now, current events notwithstanding, we know that the Trump administration is trying to put the brakes on all of those things, but there are already so many things in the pipeline right now that are underway that really underscore the significance of there is still work to be had in the skilled trades and in the construction trades overall, right, Emily?
Yes. We are putting on people as fast as we can get them into our apprenticeship programs. That includes, I want to say this early on, the average age of our apprentice is usually between 27 and 30-ish. It fluctuates every year. But, you know, this is a great opportunity for people who maybe are not super happy with the career they're in right now and are looking for pension, gold standard health insurance, a flexible schedule, the ability to work with your brain and your hands, and by the way, to make an amazing living. And that was another highlight of the study that we can touch on later is the compensation for these jobs. But for all those reasons, there is a need there. We're filling it as fast as we can. We work with our contractor partners every day to do that, with end users. But yeah, these are fantastic careers. And there is a need, an evergreen need for them.
Let me give a couple of the takeaways here from that Midwest Economic Policy Institute. As of 2022, there were more than 8,500 construction apprentices enrolled in union programs. The union programs account for 96% of apprenticeship investments. There's a like you said, a strong economic outcome. Union journey workers earn a median wage of $41 an hour. That's 41% more than their non-union counterparts. And so again, there's going to be need for skilled trades and construction all over. But this report really seems to affirm that, you know, you get what you pay for, and that it's these union trained apprenticeships that are providing the most bang for the buck.
Correct. Another thing the study shows, no knocks on the UW system, but the typical construction journey worker is making, believe, 24% more than someone with a bachelor's degree from a UW system school. And they're making 5% more than someone with a master's degree from a UW system school. Wow. So yeah, it's pretty incredible. You know, I think the trades have always been sold as this alternative to someone who maybe, you know, a four-year degree is not a good fit for them. We're really competing or exceeding the outcomes for those other career paths.
We're talking now with Emily Pritzkow, who's the executive director for the Wisconsin Building Trades Council. There's another part of the report that is certainly worth noting, and that is the difference between states that have something called prevailing wage and states that don't. So before we explain the difference, let's talk about what prevailing wage is and whether Wisconsin has it or not.
Yes. So prevailing wage in general, it can be very complicated the way it's calculated, so I won't go into that. But it's basically a survey that is done of wages paid to workers in similar roles within a similar area or region, and it serves as a compensation floor for construction workers. It basically ensures that there's a baseline for compensation benefits, all that is taken into effect, and then it ensures our workers are fairly compensated for their work and that they're earning a wage that allows them to support themselves and their families. A natural byproduct of that with prevailing wage is you generally have the funds from those prevailing wages staying in those communities. It increases the hiring of local workers in general. And it has all kinds of other beneficial outcomes. You can guess when you are coming to an industry that does have an aspect of it that underpays, misclassifies workers, and tells them that we are going to set a floor here. We're going to set a minimum wage for these construction workers, and this is what you're going to pay them, and it's going to be family supporting. And unfortunately, in Wisconsin, that was repealed under Governor Walker. So we are not operating in a world here where prevailing wage exists. On federal projects, it still exists. And it leads to those outcomes we see today. And as the study pointed out, these amazing numbers we're seeing for apprenticeship with outcomes, with completion, we could grow those at a much faster rate when you compare it to our neighboring states. If we were to restore prevailing wage here in Wisconsin.
Another way to think of it is, you know, essentially you've got Wisconsin construction workers who are used to making so much, but, you know, without prevailing wage, you essentially risk, you know, some out-of-state company coming in, and I'm just going to pick on Alabama. It could be any place, but they bring in out-of-state workers at a much, much lower wage. And then, of course, they take those earnings and they go back to Alabama or wherever they're from, and they don't get the multiplier effect that you would with Wisconsin workers that are being paid a fair wage for living in Wisconsin. But yeah, with Scott Walker and Republicans repealing that a number of years back, the study says that while apprenticeships are growing in Wisconsin, they are lagging compared to the neighboring states that still have their prevailing wage laws, essentially just reaffirming the value of having prevailing wage laws on the books, Emily.
Exactly. And you made a really important point, which I think was a driving factor behind prevailing wage or the Davis-Bacon Act when it was established, is like when we are building these massive federal or whatever state infrastructure projects in a certain area, that area should benefit. And they should benefit from workers in that area and employers in that area being able to compete to secure that work. They should benefit from workers that train on that job, because as we know, registered apprenticeship is basically a 5-year long mentored training. And those people that are learning the skills on that job should be able to be from that area and stay in that community and bring their skills and their training to other areas of work. But you also hit on the point of all the businesses in that area benefit when our workers are from that area, when they spend money in that area, when they stay in that area. And a lot of the promises that were made when prevailing wage was repealed, you know, that there would be increased bids, that projects would be done faster or cheaper, that has not come to pass.
No,
hasn't happened. And I think you can guess why when you talk about training and wages and all those other reasons. Our workers are more productive, they're better trained, they're faster.
Exactly. And so one other aspect, because some folks hearing this might think, well, what, this is just union bosses pushing their weight around. No, this is about doing things in partnership. And this same report that we're talking about found that joint labor management programs affiliated with building trades unions are attracting the lion's share of new workers to careers in the industry. And one of the economists who co-authored the study, how did he put it? He said, the data makes clear that the joint labor management system is punching well above its weight to deliver the skilled workforce supply that Wisconsin's construction industry needs and the job quality that its economy demands. And so in an era, Emily, when you've got politicians always working to exacerbate divisions, and that would include divisions between, you know, labor and management, the evidence is clear that when labor and management are partners in apprenticeships and in building, it is a win-win.
Correct. I mean, that's another point, Pat, I think is really valuable, is that we are different than other union structures you may see. The majority of our relationships with our signatory contractors or contractor partners, they are coming to us because we supply a highly skilled workforce that they view as a successful aspect of their business. So they are choosing to sign collective bargaining agreements with us, to sit down with us at the bargaining table and figure out a way to get a win-win when it comes to funding our training programs, when it comes to supporting the workers that work on these job sites and accessing the manpower they need. So we're a good deal all around for them, and they are choosing to come to the bargaining table to work with us.
And so looking forward, as we look at things like the Wisconsin legislature, the state budget process, other legislation they could be working on, are there any things there that would continue to show support for union apprenticeship programs?
Another important point that we haven't even talked about. We fully fund our programs with zero taxpayer dollars. They are funded in those collective bargaining agreements through our members taking contributions, a small contribution from every dollar they earn, and contractors at the bargaining table figuring out what that looks like and putting it into a training fund. So we are 100% privately funded to provide this training to the workforce. That being said, we talked about the damage that prevailing wage is doing to the workforce here in Wisconsin and our ability to be as successful as we can be on these projects. But also expanding access to what we call readiness programs would be a great thing to look at, especially when it comes to getting folks into trades that have not historically been in our trades. That would be a great thing to look at. good thing and protecting apprenticeship as it is right now.
Good thing to support. Good things to support, plural. Emily Pritzkow, Executive Director for Wisconsin Building Trades. Emily, thank you so much for the visit. We learned a lot. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pat.
All right. And when we come back, we'll hear from Jane Mattenair about what's coming up on her show, along with Greg Bach, right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Matt and Air on Air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Mattenair is here, part of Mattenair on Air, coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Greg Bach, allegedly. Is he still around?
He is still around. I think he's still prepping.
He's prepping?
He's prepping.
Okay. See, I know what you mean, like getting the stories and the material and everything, but I wonder how many people hear that and it's like, oh, he's still at the makeup mirror? You know, just got to get everything just so, you know?
That's always our biggest concern on in radio. On Air is making sure we're fluffed.
Having that just right. You told me during the break you were a slug over the weekend. How cool was that?
I was the slug of slugs. I did some stuff on Saturday. I did some errands and I went to the grocery store and I went to the library, which is like my once a week happy place. Now I love going to the library. And yesterday I did nada.
Yeah.
Zippo, zero. I read books
and I doom scrolled, and that was pretty much my Sunday.
That was ours was a lot like that because, of course, we'd had the Portugal trip and then Idaho last week for our grandson's graduation, and so we were like, nothing. We're doing virtually nothing. You know, a couple things that you need to do. We did, you know, did some weeding and mowing and things like that, but otherwise we didn't take on anything extra. And I think to do that, and I don't mean to throw my wife under a bus, but I did have to say repeatedly heading into the weekend, we're not going to do too much. We're not going to do too much. We're not going to, because it starts
remember,
off.
Remember, honey.
You know, it's, and I know that sounds like the lazy husband thing, but what happens is, you know, it starts with a little bit of weeding. And then the next thing you know, you're rebuilding one of the wood piles.
Right.
And then you're doing this. And then suddenly you are more exhausted than if you'd done a regular work day.
Yeah.
So the point I was trying to make is all things in moderation.
Just little bits.
Yes.
Little bits.
And get something done here. Jenny putting on YouTube, doing nothing is my favorite. And Tony putting it, oh, you went to camp, sit on my couch too. Yes.
Thank you for that, because I'm one of those, I always feel bad. Mm-hmm. It's like, because you look around and it's like, I know I should do that. Speaking of weeding, I know I should do that. I know I should do something about this pile of papers on my kitchen table, which has been there for 4 months. Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm not going to do that now. It'll be there later.
I was going to say, it'll still be there. That's the thing, you know. Yeah. Who do you have on the program today?
Well, we do have Mr. Global scheduled for 9:30. Unfortunately, I am still waiting for a confirmation from him, so we will see whether or not that comes to fruition.
We are efforting Mr. Global.
Okay. Mr. Global, Matt Randolph, an oil and gas industry expert, supposed to be joining us after 9:30. And then in hour number two, State Representative Christian Phelps will be here. We're going to talk about education, among many, many other things. Later on in the show, Pat, at 10:30, it's a segment we called Audio Sorbet, where we try to lighten things up a little bit and get away from the news. Our question today for Audio Sorbet is, what is the dumbest way you've hurt yourself?
Oh, okay.
Lot of possibilities there.
Yep.
Lots,
especially now with, as the years go on.
Yes.
There have been times where I'm like, how am I going to explain that? Yeah, I was just whatever.
The dumbest way you hurt yourself, we're going to talk about that around after 10:30. And then we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Cornclave edition.
The Cornclave?
Cornclave, yes. Okay. There's a visual included in this. I encourage you to stick around for that coming up at the end of our show.
Okay, and I should let folks know that on Todd Alba's program, State Senator Kelda Royals will be on around 2:30. Matt Rothschild is guest hosting for Maggie Dawn later today, and then tune into Pete Schwabe tonight as well. And then as I'm looking ahead on your program here, you've got improving math scores on Wednesday.
Yes, there is a school district in Wisconsin that has taken a different approach to how they teach math, and I'm very excited to talk to him. That's coming up on Wednesday. I'm hoping that I can take a remedial course on math, essentially. But I do think it's interesting, Pat, because everyone learns so differently.
Yes.
And I'm really curious about the way that they're approaching this, as opposed to the way that perhaps you and I were taught. Because I got to Alg 1 in high school, and it was like, yeah, I'm done. I like geometry because I got to play with the protractor. That was fun.
See, and it was geometry that killed me. Although,
the proofs.
I'm so happy you said proofs. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
The proofs. Yep.
Parker's. It was definitely a case for me, and I'm not saying the teacher was wrong, but it was definitely a case of, I really feel I could grab this if you would slow down. You know, but we were right off onto the next unit, and you felt yourself falling behind. And it's such a helpless feeling when you're not saying, I'll never get this. You know, I'll get this. Just give me another minute or two here, you know.
Or take it in a different approach. So I'm very much looking forward to talking to this principal that is coming up on Wednesday, I believe. Brad Sturmer is going to be joining us to talk about math education. And it gives me a chance to bring back out my protractor and my compass and play with those things, because that was a lot of fun. I like making circles.
You know, and nowadays, would anybody get a protractor? Because remember the sharp point? It'd be a weapon. It's a shank, you know, the protractors. You couldn't possibly. And of course, everybody right now, younger, is going, well, wait, don't I have one of those on my phone? Your phone can do everything else, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Do they still have Bunsen burners in high school? That was another thing I liked to play.
Oh, yeah, another thing I look at and go, wow, they let us do that?
Little explosive devices, yes.
There were a lot of things. There was a lot more trust back then. Even baseball games. Do you remember Bat Day? When you got an actual Louisville Slugger bat,
yes.
If you were going to see the Brewers or the Twins or whatever, yes. And everybody would pound their bats, you know, on the metal stadium floor, and it would get crazy out there. And now we look at them and go, would you give 25,000 people a bat?
A bat?
An actual bat going into a ball game?
Of course.
You would not.
Of course, they used to let us play with jarts, too. So I was the last of six. I figured my parents figured, if we lose one, we still got five more. It's fine.
Amazing. We are still alive. Jane Matinair is coming up next, along with Greg Bach from Matinair on Air. Thank you. Have a great start to the week.
You as well, Pat. Thank you so much. Take care, you guys.
All right. We'll see you. Parker, thank you so much. As always, have a great day. We'll see you at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Hope we'll see all the rest of you here as well. We'll be talking to Dan Schaefer, talking to Chad Holmes from Wausau as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. Have a great Monday. See you tomorrow here up north.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Three nights of clashes between protesters and National Guard troops. President Trump called up against the wishes of California's governor and the mayor of Los Angeles. ABC's Matt Gutman was there when the protest broke out.
CHP, California Highway Patrol, deployed smoke. They're moving in, trying to push these protesters out. You can see some projectiles.
The LAPD mobilizing resources and LA's mayor pleading for calm.
Our city does not need to be torn apart.
Earlier Sunday, demonstrators swarming LA's federal building, hundreds of LAPD officers responding.
Israeli forces seized a boat bound for the Gaza Strip overnight. Greta Thunberg and other activists were on board, along with aid for Palestinians who have been cut off from food and fuel amid the fighting between Israel and Hamas. Russia launching 479 drones at Ukraine in the war's biggest overnight bombardment. They also shot at least 20 missiles as well. This is ABC News.